Good morning. Just have a brief announcement before we begin our chapel service today. This afternoon at 1:30, they will be decorating the Christmas trees here in the chapel for the upcoming Christmas season, and in particular the concerts that will be coming up starting on Wednesday. If anybody would like to come and help with that, if you long to help decorate some Christmas trees, this is your opportunity. So this afternoon at 1:30 here in the chapel. Today we begin a brand new church year, and this being the first Sunday in the week of Advent. And we begin our worship then with the hymn 90. Scripture reading for today is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning with the 25th verse, and this is on the day of our Lord's presentation in the temple, so we skip ahead past Christmas a little bit. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When I was a vicar, for those of you that don't know what the Lutherans mean by vicar, that is kind of an internship for a pastor. And when I was a vicar, one of my first hospital calls was on an elderly man, possibly the oldest man in our congregation at the time. And I went in to see him at the VA hospital. I had gone to see him a couple of times, and every time I was in there to see him, he was slowly dying of some lung and heart trouble. Every time I went in to see him, he would ask me the same question. Why does God let me live so long? Why doesn't God just take me home? I don't understand. And every time I'd go to see him, I felt like I just didn't have a very good answer. And so finally, one time when he asked me that, I said, well, you know, maybe God knows that there's a really stupid vicar that needs to learn how to make hospital calls. May have been the last time he laughed. He passed away about 2 weeks later. The man in our text, Simeon, has often been assumed was elderly, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's a beautiful statement about Simeon. And if you're like me, we've always wished we could know a little bit more about him. we try to kind of guess what his life had been like. What would it have been like to have been told that you would not die until you got to see the coming Messiah? His name is rather a common Jewish name. There's always been speculation, even in the early church, that Simeon was possibly the father of the great Hebrew scholar Gamaliel, who was the teacher of Saul, later to become St. Paul. He's part of what we would call, and something that we see in Scripture, the remnant. The remnant of faithful believers among the Jewish people. Most of the Jewish people had false ideas and false conceptions in their mind of what the Messiah was supposed to be, as if he was going to be some great political ruler or someone that's going to restore their kingdom back to its greatness at the time of David and Solomon, or maybe someone that was going to bring about a new era of prosperity for them as a nation. But Simeon represents one of those remnant of believers who hung on to the true word of God about this Messiah and understood that he was coming for a spiritual kingdom and to deliver us from our sins and death. And he stands at a very crucial juncture. You might say he's straddling both the Old and the New Testament here for us. Today, let us learn three important spiritual lessons from this elderly man, Simeon. And the first one has to do with patience. We don't like to be very patient. We don't like to wait. Down at Disney World, there are two full-time workers whose job it is to do nothing but monitor lines to all of the attractions so that people are willing to stay in the lines. And if you've ever been to places like that, they put a lot of time and effort into making sure that even though you're in a line that if they stretched it out straight would probably go for a quarter of a mile, but you're willing to stand there if you feel close enough to the event and you can watch some TVs or something, and that's all done on purpose because they know that people hate to wait. We just hate to wait. And that same problem with us in our society and culture is true of us when it comes to our spiritual lives. We don't like to leave the timing for things to God. We want the timing to go the way we want it to go. And when we ask something of God and we expect something of God, we want it to happen in our time and by our schedule. And that's a challenge for us in so many different ways. And so often, the longer we have to wait for something, the more easily we are distracted and have our attention shift to things where it should not be. And so the first lesson we need to learn from Simeon is just patient faith. How many years did he have to wait for God's promises to come to life? How many times possibly was he tempted to think that God really wasn't going to carry out the promises that he had given? And yet here in the temple, the day that our Lord comes and is placed in his arms, we see the blessings of a patient faith. True faith also embraces the Christ child, embraces Christ alone, and places all of its hope in that child. That day that the Holy Family came into the temple with their little new child, there were probably other families walking around in there with babies that day too. What was it that caused Simeon to go up to this poor couple, this carpenter and his young wife and this little infant, and to pick up that child in his arms and to start using words like salvation and glory and God to talk about this little baby? Faith is a gift itself from God by the work of the Holy Spirit that causes the eyes of our spiritual life to look through all of the clutter of this world and all of the other things around that can distract us and to latch on to the Son of God, to latch on to Christ, and to hold on to him alone. God would have us, like Simeon, place our hope in this Christ child. Years ago, a pastor that would meet with our pastors' meetings every month used to say, an older pastor would talk to us younger guys about teaching confirmation. And he would say, I'd always tell my confirmation students, don't just learn the facts and the details about Jesus. Don't think that just recognizing that there is a God, or even that Jesus is the Son of God, as if that's enough. Put your hope in him, he used to say. I try to teach my students to put their hope and their trust and their confidence in him. Imagine a salesman who works for a parachute company, and he happens to be flying on a small plane. And he's in conversation with the person next to him about his job and his work, and he starts describing to him what it's like to make parachutes and how parachutes work, and he explains the science of it and everything else. All of a sudden, there's trouble on the plane, and the plane is starting to go down. And there are some parachutes on the plane, and so they have to strap them on and now put their trust and their confidence in them. That's the difference between simply knowing something and understanding it, and even being able to explain it, and trusting in it. When you're here at Bethany College and coming to chapel and going through religion classes and all of that, it's wonderful to learn so much about Christ and the things of God and the things of his kingdom and the details of scriptural stories and the history of it. That's fantastic, and the doctrine. But let us make sure not to miss the trust that God calls upon us to have in all of this. Faith is content, we see in Simeon, faith is content to live here in God's time, but ultimately is longing for heaven. About this time of year, as we think about gifts and maybe watching little children open gifts, we often laugh about how kids will tear open a gift and they'll play with the ribbon or the bow or the box instead of the actual gift itself. There are many things that God gives us in this life for us to enjoy. But the real gift that he gives us is his Son and the hope of salvation that we have in him, the full forgiveness of sins, and the right to claim heaven as your own place, your own future home. Let's make sure that we don't get distracted by the bow and the ribbon and the box of the things we can enjoy in this life, so that we set aside the real gift that God has given us. St. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Dr. Walther has this beautiful statement about Simeon. He says, this is the way in which a person who has served the Lord dies. He has already experienced the horrors of death in his repentance, and he has overcome them by Christ's blood. Now, death, disarmed of its horrors, comes to him as a messenger of peace. Bethany Lutheran College has much to teach you about how to live, but most importantly, it's here to teach you how to die, and how to die in peace. May our prayer always be with Simeon, Lord, let now your servant depart in peace. Amen. Please rise. Today we offer two prayer requests, one on behalf of Joan Minks, that is the aunt of Sarah Wagner. She's being evaluated for brain surgery today and has very challenging prospects for her health. And also Roger Stenberg, who is the grandfather of our Kirsten Johnson. He's had a series of minor heart attacks and is hospitalized. And we pray. Heavenly Father, you have generously invited us to bring our petitions before you, and today we come on behalf of your servants Joan Minks and Roger Stenberg. Give ability and wisdom to their physicians that they may properly diagnose and then treat their ailments. If it is your will, grant each of them a restoration to better health. Strengthen them in their love for you and be with the members of their families through these trying times. Keep all of us in true readiness for the return of our Redeemer through repentance and faith in him. We ask it all in his saving name. Amen.